Hello, listeners. If you like this show, please go to iTunes and subscribe. Rate and review our show. Thanks.
We've got two awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow. It's a TagCast podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Can I be getting paid for this, boys?
The TagCast podcast starts right now. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Friday. It's Black Sabbath week, officially by me, because I'm digging on the new Black Sabbath album, so all week we've been featuring a different song. My name is Terry Guile. This is the TagCast Podcast, episode 506. Across the table is my cohort.
I'm Bill Ward.
Do you have a billboard?
Yep.
I want to see a Bill Ward billboard, because I thought you said, I'm Bill Ward.
That would be a great name, too.
Bill Brasky! Yep. That son of a bitch!
Bill Ward, and then you got Bill Ward. He just opened up his own billboard company.
Yeah.
Bill Ward's Billboards.
Oh, Bill Ward's Billboards.
Yeah.
And then there's a Ward. It's Montgomery Ward.
Yeah.
They went out of business, and they sold half to Bill.
Nice.
Now it's called Bill Montgomery Ward's Billboards and More.
Yep. Your Montgomery Bill. Your Montgomery Ward Bill.
Exactly. How do you pay it?
I don't know.
My parents used to get one of those.
Yeah.
Because everybody had a Montgomery Ward card.
There's a band named Bill Ward Cleaver.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How about Bill F. Ward? I'm Bill F. Word.
Well, speaking of the Cleavers, I saw Letterman went black and white the other day.
What?
Yeah, that was really interesting.
Just for one episode?
No, it was, had some gal on there, and she was doing a movie that she had just written, and it was in black and white.
Oh.
And he was really, he was cracking me up. I was stoned, of course, he was talking to her, and he's like, now, is this a good clip? And she's like, and he's like, is it a good clip? Or people, because some people bring on clips and they're just like, what the fuck did we just see?
Yeah.
Who wants to see? Who's going to go and see that?
Doesn't the company choose the clip?
Yeah, okay. So tell me a little bit about the clip. And then she told him, and he's like, it sounds great. Well, there's no sense watching it now. So he was totally messing with her. And then
excellent.
They went to, right before that, they went to black and white for the Letterman show for about 30 seconds, went into the clip, came back, and talked a little in the black and white, and then went to commercial. So
it wasn't a full black and white episode?
No,
oh,
he was just kind of doing
cool.
A little thing, but yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It looked, I was like, I could watch that.
Yeah, I used to watch black and white TV, because all we had.
Yep.
Not always, but there was certain instances when I've got to watch some black and white.
Yeah, and you haven't played Ghosts and Goblins, unless you played that on a black and white TV.
Dude, Space Invaders is easier on black and white.
That's true.
When you got, like, colors in the... Like, try playing Legend of Zelda on a black and white. Dude, what?
Is that the red ring or the blue ring?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Just get it. It's one of them.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know if we talked. I know we talked on off the air, either Wednesday, probably on the air too, about my wife saying that she thought the new Black Sabbath song sounded like Griefhammer. Finally,
I think that
found
was
it
off the air.
Okay, well, because I didn't want to say it till I found it. This is the song, and as we listened to it, I go, "Well, that's not a riff."
Is it?
Yeah, this is it. And it was. I think it's the one that you said too.
Oh, okay.
It's the same
one.
This
was that song.
Yeah, it's called "Damaged Soul."
Nope.
Nope.
It's not the one I posted.
Okay, well, Yours was a video of the making of the video.
Yeah, but he,
of
and he,
the
and
burning
he says,
of 13.
What's the name of the album?
13.
No, what's the that one song?
End of the Beginning?
No.
God
one,
is Dead?
Yeah, that's the one he says.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, so this is the one.
Clearly.
And it kind of, she said not the riff, but the drums and the dynamics of the song.
I felt that in that one song, too. It was like...
Because I do like a... That I kind of stole, I thought, from Mendoza. But I... Even though, if it does sound like Grief Hammer, I already told her. It's fucking reverse influence.
Yeah.
They influenced me to do what I do, and now, just because of the fact that I'm doing what was influenced by them, what they do, it naturally sounds like something that I kind of did.
Sure,
which
sure.
is...
Well, it just comes
awesome.
Full circle, too, because, I mean, you know, they've influenced many people who
right.
have created, you know, those kind of sounds, and, you know, a lot of those bands you probably listen to are influenced, too, by, you know,
yeah.
their little subtleties that they pick up, and now that they're there, you know, I mean, they probably listen to music, even, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't see them sounding, they don't sound like a Nickelback to me.
No.
So I don't think that's what they're listening to.
Yeah, I started listening to this, and I was like, yeah. It's got a Grief Hammer feel to it, and I was kind of thinking it, and I was like, but the riffs, you know, it's not, none of the riffs sound the same. And then there's this part coming up. Now, I don't know, I know you've heard it because you saw Grief Hammer probably the last time we played, and Jared, superfan Nelson, even has a video of our, one of our newer songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, I think Lance said it was called Black Unicorn or something, but it was actually called like the Nail
That's
in the...
That's a band name there.
Yeah.
Black Unicorn.
But here's the song title that was partially rejected. Oh, here's the part right here. There's a video on YouTube of us doing Hansa Sitting Down. Very, very similar to that riff.
That's the one I heard.
This is the same song. This is just the... Hey, Hans!
Maybe they mixed it a weird...
Yeah, it was probably
thing.
A collage.
Yeah.
Or a, whatever you call it, a medley. Hey, Hans! Damaged
the,
Soul.
Yeah, it's not the... the
so
the,
when we go in the studio, we'll just throw some harmonica in there, and it'll even sound like we tried to rip off Black Sabbath even more, because we haven't fucking recorded that song yet. God damn it!
Did you check out that video of them setting that up?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh, it's only a couple minutes. I watched it again, and I was like, man, I thought it was longer than that.
Also,
but it had to be, because I know it was that riff, and then it went into the God is Dead, so it had to be like a, you know, and that's even cool too.
But yeah, this riff is the second movement of The Nail in the Coffin is the Only Reward, or whatever it's called. Black Unicorns, I don't know. Oh, Insane Unicorns, that's what
oh.
it was called.
Oh,
because I misunderstood his lyric and thought he said Insane Unicorns, and then he just started saying that, and it's even cooler.
Nice.
But hey, Hans, I think Tony Iommi stole your riff, bro. He was probably perusing MySpace and thought, that bloke ripped off my riff. I'm riffing it off from him with my prosthetic fingers. And now all of a sudden I'm from Australia.
Ozzy got a little shout out the other day. I don't know where it was at. There must have been some award show recently or something.
Right.
And Carrie Fisher was doing some freestyling up on the stage when she was up there, and she was talking.
She's kind of funny.
She was talking about rehab, you know, and being in there, and she said, of course, you don't see things or something like that on whatever or something unless you did acid like Ozzy and me, and Ozzy was in the crowd there. and afterwards, there was a short little snippet of Sharon going, it's true, they actually met in rehab.
I don't doubt it. Carrie was a partier.
Sure, sure.
And she was pretty funny on the Roseanne roast, the Roast-Anne.
Yeah, yeah, and he enjoyed it. And well, she's written comedy books and stuff too, right?
Yeah, she wasn't just Princess Leia.
No, she wrote Fried Green, one of those.
One of those.
Maybe
she did?
Not even, what's that third chick flick that's notorious?
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants?
No.
Why do I know that?
Well, that's probably one of them, yeah. But there's another one in there that I think that she wrote.
Yeah.
Speaking of dogs and cats.
Yeah.
I know you're a cat person.
That joke went over rather well last Friday. People laughed about the lipstick.
Oh, really?
But yeah, nice. I like cats. What about them?
Well, Americans prefer dogs.
I know. That's why I always reiterate and say, not trying to alienate myself from any of you dog lovers, because I know it's kind of cut and dried, but...
6 and 10.
Well, what? Oh, okay, 60% like 61%
dogs. 61% like dogs.
Okay.
And,
all right.
Let's say, there's some more interesting.
All right.
1 in 5 say they prefer to spend time with their pets over most human beings.
All right.
Rural Americans are more likely to prefer the company of animals.
Yeah. The urban people aren't really, not urban like what urban has become, but like urban cowboy, like urban areas that are populated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not black.
And 31% say their pets sleep in the bed with them.
Well, not in, but on sometimes. But dogs, yeah, I don't, you know, that's the thing. I'm, dogs, you can have small dogs. That'd be kind of cool. But most dogs are big and lumberly.
Yeah.
They lumber around. And
you guys used to have that huge dog, right? I mean, it wasn't huge, but
it's pretty fucking huge. He's still our neighbor dog.
It was big for a
dog. He's our neighbor dog now. Did you know that?
I did not.
Trippy story. So Marley, the dog, the brown chocolate lab that was like 5 years old when we accidentally...
He was just big and muscly, you know, right?
He had a dreadlock, so they named him Marley.
Mm-hmm.
And then so we took... accidentally took possession of him by renting a house from Jake Johnson out in Lacombe, and he couldn't take the dog, so he said, I'll feed the dog if you guys keep the dog. Well, that lasted about one bag of dog food. So then we started feeding the dog, and you know, you feed the dog, and you have the dog, you don't like dogs that much, but he's a dog, and he's a cool dog. I liked him. He's a cool dog. And so we had him for a year, and then we moved into town, and Jake was supposed to take him back, because we couldn't take him to the house we were moving
to.
Last minute.
He wasn't an in-town dog, really.
Girlfriend, woes, or ex-wife, whatever, had to move back. Can't take the dog either. Can't take the dog. I was like, well, dude, it's your dog. Well, can't take it. So we had a friend of a friend who wanted, it was actually the owner of the Brownsville Tavern, took possession of this dog, had been wanting a dog. I saw the dog about 3 months later. He'd been groomed. He'd had all of his shots, you know, because he was a Lacombe dog.
He was an outdoor. He had a free roamer.
Yeah, he had burrs, and, you know, he was healthy. But he was
out there with the horses, and he had a giant field to mess around with stuff. So, I mean.
So she groomed him up and got him all nice. And then about 3 months after that, she decided that he'd bark too much. Well, he's a dog, and that's what dogs do.
Sure.
Well, he does have a loud, definitive bark. So... we'd noticed a chocolate lab in our neighbors. We got a field in between in our backyard and the next house down, which just happens to be a really nice Mormon family. And the father is a Oregon State trooper. He's a really nice guy. His name's Huff. His first name's Huff, which is funny.
Huff?
Huff Meyer. And then the weird thing, right across the street from his house was a video store that used to be a video store owned by a guy whose last name was Huff. So it was like Huff on one side and Huff on the other.
They delivered movies, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing about Huff, he's the nicest Mormon dude you'd know, kind of like the nice Mormon family on South Park, but
sure.
he'll kill you because he killed a guy. He's a cop, and a guy drew on his partner on I-5 about 7 years ago, and he killed him dead with his gun.
A guy drew on his partner? Oh, okay.
With a permanent ink pen. It was permanent ink. No, I'm just kidding. No, he drew a gun.
Yeah. I was thinking there was like an officer point that drew a gun on his partner.
No.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, they pulled a dude over.
Some guy drew a gun on your friend's partner, and he reacted.
So, yeah, that's a side story. But then all of a sudden we noticed that old Huff Meyer had a old brown chocolate lab, and then all of a sudden they had two.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden they had one. And I was like, whoa. And then we saw him walking the dog. And, you know, even though...
playing with a yo-yo.
Even though a brown chocolate lab is a brown chocolate lab, when you have a dog for a year, you know that dog when you see him.
Oh, yeah.
He's got some definite gray whiskers.
And he probably knows you too, right?
I would imagine. So they're walking the dog past the car wash lot.
Yo-yo trick.
And Dan is like, that's Marley. That's Marley. And he's like, roof, roof, gets all excited and runs up to us, and they're on the leash, you know, and we're like, where did you get that dog? And we're like, oh, we got it from Natalie, the owner of the tavern. We're like, I knew it. That used to be our dog. And they're like, that's Marley. And they're like, well, actually, his name's Sergeant now. But I was like, oh, okay.
cut off his dread.
Sergeant.
Gave him a crew cut, didn't they?
Yeah. Or maybe it's Bernard. I can't remember. Sergeant Bernard. No, they.
Sandra.
Saint Bernard. I don't know. I think it's Sergeant, though, but I don't know.
Right on.
I think it's Sarge. And then, so, yeah, we get to see our dog, and we get to hear him bark. And luckily, he's clear across the field. So, like, just when we're sitting out on the back porch smoking, we're here. Our old dog barking. Oh!
That's cool. I thought you were going to say they shot collared him or whatever.
No, so the one that they, when they had two, they had one for years and it was sick and they had to put it down. So before they put it down, they got the replacement and that was pretty cool for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, our dog came back, but yeah, dog people. And you know, here's another reason why I don't really like dogs. Cats, maybe sometimes if you don't change your litter box, when you should. They might pee on a towel or, you know, even if they're potty trained, they're like, I don't want to go dig in a... That's a downside of having a cat. Sometimes it'll piss on something.
Yeah.
Well, here's a downside of having a dog out of Brazil, Indiana. That's in the United States here in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Brown has been hospitalized after his six-month-old pit bull chewed off his toes while he was sleeping. And ate part of his foot because he was a diabetic and it was rotten. Another case of a dog trying to rid its owner of bad stuff. And, wow, he awoke just before dawn to a bloody left foot and two missing toes and discovered his pit bull puppy had been gnawing at his foot. And according to him, his dog...
So he had, like, gangrene going on because of diabetes or whatever?
Well, he just had one of those black diabetic foots, I think. Read a little more. His dog, Bo, was able to chew off entirely his left small pinky toe as well as the big toe on the same foot. While he was sleeping, he managed to eat a sizable chunk of the man's actual foot without waking him. He's disabled and diabetic. Admit it was his own fault because he usually treats and tightly wraps his feet at night because he gets big blisters. But he failed in his regimen on this particular night, and the dog was likely enticed by the exposed wound instead of as a result of his diabetes. Now, this recently happened like less than a year ago in southern Oregon, so it's not an isolated incident, but the pup was isolated after the incident. That's weird. I just said isolated incident off my own accord, and then I looked down to the next line, and it had both of those words in it.
Yeah.
The pup was isolated after the incident by order of the city police and was under observation for any sign of rabies. So dogs get rabies from eating human flesh, or maybe because it was infected.
I'm not sure. They were probably just checking to make sure that he wouldn't have to have a rabies shot, right?
Yeah. I don't think he would. And
well,
a lot of people...
If the dog would have tested positive for rabies, he probably would have.
Right. And I don't know if anyone remembers or if I even mentioned it before, but the guy that did the three quarters of my tattoo sleeve on my arm, his dog also ate off two of his toes.
Yeah? Wow.
He's not diabetic, but he is a... triplegic? No, he's all
in a movie somewhere.
He's a paraplegic, I guess. Yeah. So, you know, most stuff in movies is inspired by something that happened.
No, it was in, like, Arrested Development or something, wasn't it? No, Weeds.
Oh, Weeds, yeah. The pit bull ate off his, but I don't think he had a bad foot.
No, no.
He attacked him and he put his foot up or something, right?
Yeah, something was going on. I can't remember what it was.
That's when you have to go
back. He had peanut butter on his toes or something, wasn't it? Or,
on his balls?
Remember. Yeah, I can't remember.
Peanut butter toes.
But here's a 24% of pet owners say that everyone should love their pet.
Only 24? Oh, everybody in the world should love their pet.
Is in quotes, everyone should love their pet.
See, now that
69
could...
do not think that.
See, that must be what they mean, because if you take it out of context, and that could mean everyone should love their own pet.
I think that's what they mean.
No, because why would 69 people not think that? 69
I don't know. Maybe
no,
they
I
just...
think I think it means everyone should love my pet.
Well, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Women are slightly more likely to own a pet. 64 to 58.
And so 61% of those 64% prefer dogs? Pretty much.
It could be.
Statistically. Not down to the wire, but theoretically.
Yeah.
So girls like dogs because of the peanut butter thing you were talking about, I think, already.
Yeah. When asked whether they prefer cats or dogs, dogs win with 52, while just 21% chose cats.
Well.
And 44% say they own dogs, and 21% of dog owners say their dogs bark and jump on people every time they enter the house.
Yeah.
79% of people say their dogs don't do that, and I'm calling bullshit on about 50% of those.
Well, that statement has to be probably fully fulfilled. My dog barks and jumps up on people every time someone comes down. Now, you could say one time out of 100, he didn't bark, but he did jump up on him, so that totally cancels that out.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, 31% of cat owners. Oh, 31% own cats, and 77% of those cat owners say their cats are friendly to visitors. 77%.
Okay, well, 50% of my cats are friendly to visitors.
Oh, yeah?
Because I have two cats, and one is a bitch, and one is totally awesome. The one who is a bitch will piss on a towel if the litter box is too dirty, and she will run out the door every time she gets a chance, and if a little kid tries to pet her, she will draw blood. Not with a pen, either. With her claw.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, cats are crazy like that. I used to not mind cats like that, but these days it's kind
of
hard.
Like that one we talked about that scratched the fuck out of somebody somewhere or sometime at a party or something?
Yeah.
The guy said his cat was mean or... I can't remember the specifics, but it just rolled around my Rolodex in my brain.
It's somewhere in there. Yeah. Kind of like that thing.
You got to listen back to episode blanko blank.
Yeah.
Back in episode blankety blank.
Yeah, as far as being terrified, the biggest terrified animal of all is a snake with 21%, saying they're the scariest, followed by alligators, sharks, and bears, and...
I know a lot of people that are scared of snakes, man.
Yeah, like, and they...
Really scared.
And 56% of respondents picked, in a fight, a bear over a shark.
A land shark? Because... If a bear, you mean against each other?
Yeah, in a fight, a bear or a shark, 56% said a bear would win.
Or it's going to have to be a river shark. Say that there's a bear out there hunting in the river like they do, you know? Mm-hmm. They're catching salmon and just eating them up, stripping them off. All of a sudden, here comes a fucking river shark. I don't know.
It says Westerners were the only geographical group to pick the shark. So, because they were closer to the ocean.
Bear versus shark. I think a bear is going to win every time.
Yeah. Well, they got the salmon thing going on. I mean, they probably just swipe.
They know how to fight fish.
Where would they... I don't know.
But we're talking, if it was a great white shark the size of, say, Jaws.
Yeah.
Bear would probably lose in one bite. Ow.
Yeah.
My friend just showed me this fucking bear taser. They give him he got it from his stepdad, who works up in an isolated area running like heavy machinery, and he's by himself, and there's a lot of bears up there. So they give him this standard issue bear taser. It's 3 million volts.
Wow.
Dude, it like hurt my ears when he just went. He just pushed the button for a second and the little electrode goes across.
Yeah.
Oh man, he said you do that to a human, they're like coma for a couple hours, you know, they'll wake up. It's like putting a fly in the in the freezer.
You know what? you should always, if you're going to go out hunting in areas where there are bears, you should buy a bear tag.
Just in case. Just tag him.
Just in case.
So when he comes at you, you just tag your it, and then you'll have to run away.
You got a tag cast.
Now I got to chase you. So come on, bear, turn around, But yeah, so I think that's the most. Smartest thing, you don't carry around a fucking quiver full of arrows and a bow or a gun that you have to draw and load the safety off. Boom.
Yeah. You know what you don't want to do is feed the bears. You ever see those signs on the cartoons?
You know where I first saw that?
Bears where?
On Yogi Bear.
Yeah, see? Yep. You know how true that is, very true.
Why?
Recently a local man, not a local man. Well, he's local somewhere.
Yeah, he's local where you were listening.
Mm-hmm.
Person from...
And so, yeah, but he got drunk. They were out camping and barbecuing, and he got drunk, and I don't even know if they were camping. They might have just been at a park barbecuing. But he took a steak or something out into the woods, and he came upon a bear, and he tossed the steak... at the bear, and the bear snapped that up and then mauled him.
Never share a steak with a bear.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you feed the bear, they're just going to want more.
Hey, that was good. How about you?
Yep. No doubt.
You got any open wounds? Because yeah. I hate the skin shit. It's fucking shitty.
11% of voters, you might be in this group.
I'm not a voter.
11% of voters agree that cats make better pets because they make you work for their affections and don't sell out like dogs do.
Are dogs sellouts?
I don't know. That was all in quotes.
Work for their affection? Mm-hmm. Shit, I don't work for my cat's affection. When I want to pet it, I go pet it. And if it doesn't, it tries to be one of the cat things that cats do. If they're not ready to be pet, they'll just walk away.
Yeah.
They'll try to just throw their tail up and just saunter away like, whatever. I'm going to go drink some water that I just drank and I don't need any right now, but I don't want to be touched by you. I just pick the fucker up. Cradle it in my arms, because my cat is like, will let me do anything to it.
Uh-huh.
Well, not sexually. I tried one time. It said, meow. And so, no, but I can like pick it up and hold it on its back in my arms like a baby. Most cats start flailing around and try to claw you. It just lays there, even if it was a point where she tried to walk away from me. And like, I'll be playing golf, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll come over and get on the ottoman and be nudging me like, hey. And I'm standing up so she can't, like, sit on my lap. Then my legs will get tired after, like, one weekend of four rounds of golf.
Yeah.
And so I'll sit down and do some adjusting on my character or take a couple bong hits. And as soon as I sit down, she's on my lap.
She's a lap cat, huh?
Yeah, and then I'll have to get up to do my next round or whatever. And I'm like, sorry, Kate, and I'll put her back. And then she'll just go bloop. So we kind of have a give-and-take relationship where neither one of us work for either one of us as our fix.
Yeah, but she takes what she can get.
But check this out. Here's the lopsidedness of our relationship. She does not feed and pay for my food.
Uh-huh.
And she does not clean up my shit and my piss.
That's true.
Or pay for the bill.
That's true.
You know, and I spend about max $25 a month on food and that other shit that they piss in.
Cat
litter.
Litter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the most, $30. And that's what?
It's not bad.
I don't want to hear it. It's like $360 a year.
Mm.
Yeah, that's not as good when you break it down.
Hmm.
Or when you break it up.
I wonder if you can just use pizza boxes, because I got some of those.
No.
You might be able to shred them up.
My dad is kind of getting old, and he's doing weird things that old people kind of do sometimes that he probably saw his parents do that were even older than him.
Yeah.
Like just get some dirt from the garden and put it in a box if you run out of... But it's out in the garage, you know, so it's not like it's in the house.
Yeah.
Just no odor control, no clumping.
If you just put used one of those dollar store carpet,
like for sitting in front of something that you have to stand on.
No, those where you spray it on the carpet before you vacuum, you just sprinkle it the carpet powder stuff.
Oh, just fill a litter box full of powder. Cat wouldn't set foot in there.
It'd be rank in your house, wouldn't it?
And now I recently found out from something my wife was reading that cats don't normally prefer. Well, why would they? To share a litter box with even one other cat.
Really?
And it said that most times they won't. Now, ours...
Interesting.
Ours will wait like our kids do at the door, because we got a little house kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's got a lid on it, and it's a dome, so they get a little privacy. It's kind of see-through or whatever,
sure,
and it's got a little door on the front. It's kind of like a cat carrier, but it's a litter box. And... at first, they were freaked out because they had been raised on the open litter box. And then they're like,
"The
cat does this thing with rubbernecker thing. Like, it tries to look to see, and you can tell what I'm doing because my voice is going away from the microphone. But,
Doppler. Doppler 3000.
That was a Doppler effect. Possible 4000. But yeah, I don't know. Cats are kind of a burden, and a couple of my friends don't like them.
Let me ask you this important question.
Mm.
No, you know, you can't just think with your heart here going with the cat. But which would make a cat or a dog, which would make a better president?
President?
Yes.
Are we talking a real animal or a cartoon animal?
No, we're talking a dog, cat, real animal.
Because I think Garfield would make a way better president.
Based on their personalities.
Garfield would make a way better president than Clifford. The big red dog, because Clifford just fucking breaks everything.
He does, man.
He's a big, clumsy dog.
He does. I met the author of that book.
Really?
Yeah.
I wish I would have known that before you met them, because I would have had you ask them a question.
I was in kindergarten, I think, or first grade when I met him.
Oh, man. You know what I would have asked him? Was it a guy or a girl?
It was an old dude. He was pretty cool.
If I would have met old dude that wrote that, I would say, was Clifford really a big red dog, or was everything else in your book just really small?
I watched a story of how he came up with it, actually, not too long ago. Not that I remember or anything. But he had been going through a bunch of different ideas, and then that was the one that kind of stuck. But yeah, he was an old guy by that time. I remember, like, white hair and a white mustache and stuff. It was probably like 1982, so it was like the height of children's reading, pretty much, I think. At least for me. And yeah. I was so excited. I had already had like 3 or 4 of those books, and he autographed them all and stuff.
That's awesome. Did you save them? You could probably sell them on eBay.
I probably saved them, but I don't think I have them at this point, though. Yeah. So I don't know if that matters.
But anyway, those were cartoon characters in real life, and if a dog
just based
or
on
a cat, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and have to say dog because a cat doesn't really care. A cat doesn't get a cat does things on their own time, the way they want to do them, and if they don't want to do it, they'll run away. Dogs, on the other hand, after they're grown-ups, now puppies will like to fuck with you and run when you try to catch them. You know, come here, and it'll play or whatever. But a dog, when it grows up, and if it's raised right, which you have to be raised right to become president, in my opinion.
Certainly, yes.
You might go astray and become corrupt later after you become 18, but you have to have a bit of wits about you, and you have to be diligent, and you have to be responsible, and you have to be doing everything that you have to be doing, which is what a dog will do if you... they're very loyal. You got the dogs that are seeing eye dogs that pretty much are like little slave dogs. They're big slave dogs. They'll do whatever you want them to do. And all you got to do is give them a little treat every once in a while and pat them on the head. And they've got somebody that does that to the president. Yeah. They give them a big chunk of money and then they say, good job. Who's the head patter for, is that like the Secretary of Defense?
It's the Vice President.
Oh.
That's his role.
So yeah. Kudos to you, President.
37% of voters agreed with you.
Yeah, I would believe that.
And then 19% thought a cat would make a better president. And oddly, 45% said they weren't sure. They answered. They must have put a lot of real thought into it and go, I'm not sure which would make a better president.
Dude, you just think about
disposition.
The things that automatically come into your mind when you think of a dog or a cat. Like, top three. Dog is loyal. A cat doesn't give a fuck. Those aren't the exact words, but a cat, pretty much, if it doesn't want to be pet, it's going to go walk away. And if it doesn't want to come back, it doesn't come to you when you call it. You call a dog and whistle, here, boy, he's over there.
Yeah.
Especially if you're his master. A cat, it fucking looks at you like you're a retard. You scared me with your clapping and your whistling. You go, here, kitty, 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 kitty. Sometimes they'll run if they're not interested in going under the house for fucking 6 hours. That's why I don't let my cat outside, because then when I'm not looking, he'll get ran over.
Oh, man. Okay, what kind of exotic animal pet would you want, would you most like to have?
Well, I owned 2 chameleons for a while.
Really?
From Hawaii when I was with the mother of the boy I talked about earlier in the week that was in town, Noah. Shireen's brother, Billy, lived over in Hawaii, and he sent us a couple chameleons because they'd just run in your door. They just run wild everywhere. And they're pretty cool. They change colors. They're like a little lizard, and they got the sticky tongue. They got the weird...
They probably keep your fly population down too, right?
No, we keep them in a cage, and you have to buy them either crickets and mealworms.
Oh, okay.
But it's pretty cool. You get a cricket, and you hold it by the leg.
Mm-hmm.
And you get his attention and dangle it there, and he'll snap that sucker right out of your hand from about a foot away. Just like in a cartoon. To me, it was like cartoon, because I've never seen that shit before. But if I know a lot of people who have iguanas and like monitors and stuff like that, but what else is exotic pets?
All right, well, let's see. 26% said tiger.
Oh!
20% said giraffe. 18% said, which is close to what you're saying, a dinosaur.
That's my godson. He wants dinosaur.
And 16 said an elephant, 14 polar bear.
He still claims we're going to see dinosaurs when we go to the woods and to the park and to the river.
Right on.
There's dinosaurs down there. And I said, buddy, dinosaurs aren't real. And he says, they're down there. And I'm like, he just doesn't, they're not real. He's seen them on TV.
Yeah. Now here's something interesting. Vegans and vegetarians, 49% of them chose dinosaur as their exotic pet.
But that's unrealistic because those aren't real.
Compared to just 16% of meat eaters.
I mean, they're real.
Yeah.
But they don't exist anymore. That's like, what kind of horse would you like to have?
Well, DNA.
A Pegasus or a unicorn?
True, because the DNA, man, Jurassic Park's going to be very real here soon.
Some birds and did you know that an alligator is more closely related to a bird than it is to a lizard?
Really?
Yeah. I just read that on the internet the other day, so I know it's true.
Wow.
But that's because they're kind of alligators, crocodiles, and some weird forms of birds are the closest thing to dinosaurs we have these days, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple fish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know,
yeah. Fish. Down there. But, all right. Let's see. 10% of voters say, well, I'll just ask you, would you like a hippopotamus for Christmas?
No.
All right. 90% of people said no, thank you.
Those things look gross. They look gross. They take up way too much. Now, back to the exotic pet thing. Now,
all right.
You know how they have those miniature breeds of, like, miniature dachshund or miniature Doberman Pinschers, you know, they breed them down to where they're like, they look like the, I would love to
have. They breed them with midgets, you know that, right?
Yeah, that's, that's the best, yeah. It's the bestiality. It's midget bestiality. But, I would like it if they could come up, if they have that technology, they should be able to breed like a little lion cub or a tiger cub that never gets bigger than a small dog. A medium-sized dog, because, you know, a little lion or tiger cub is about the size of, like, a small, or, like, I don't even know how to say it, a dog that'll be like a pit bull, you know, the size of a pit bull or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty big. You'd have to keep his claws trimmed, man.
Yeah.
Because having those big of muscles,
but
think
the teeth,
would
too.
Be, yeah.
He could bite the fuck. But that's why I say if you keep him little, like, you know, those little baby.
I don't know, man. If I wanted a cheetah, I think I'd want them like as small as a kitten.
If you had a cheetah, dude, you could never catch that thing.
You just want them the size of a kitten, though. Is the biggest you'd want them.
Yeah, but I bet the kitten sized cheetah could still run 70 miles an hour.
I bet.
Probably run
faster.
Well,
he'd be an indoor cat.
So he'd run 70 miles an hour up the stairs.
Yep.
Like, where'd the cat go? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because cats do that. I bet those. I wonder if those game, the exotic cats, if they do that shit that regular cats do, like, they act like they saw a ghost or something. They'll just be sitting there, like, licking their shoulder, and all of a sudden, nothing happens.
Their head
but
just
they
snaps back.
And they go, and they hold, jump, and then just turn sideways and run off. Like, what just happened?
I don't think you see that as much because if I think of like seeing lions out in the wild, you know,
you
always
more
just
stuff
see them moving.
You're I know.
Seeing, they're just laying there. Well, they're probably very alert of what's
like,
around them for, you know, their hearing. They would probably just pick up on anything that's going on.
It seems like what I see lions do most is yawn.
Yeah.
Yawn. Hmm. Like the one on, I guess that's because of the MGM guy.
Yeah.
Is he yawning or is he growling?
I don't know.
You can't help but do that when you're a fucking lion, even if you're just yawning or...
Hello.
Hello down there.
Here's some interesting, to kind of close this out, the Humane Society in PETA. All right. Now you think of, the Humane Society is viewed favorably 70% of people.
Yeah, because they try not to euthanize, except for that guy out there that we talked about the other day that shot that woodpile full of kittens in front of kids.
Yeah. And PETA gets a rating of 36% like it, 39% don't.
Yeah, because you know why? Because they're activists and they freak out and they throw blood on people and stuff when they're wearing fur.
This is the surprising part, too, right here. Vegans and vegetarians, only 22% of them support PETA. Vegans and vegetarians.
That is kind of strange, but I bet there's some weird hipster angle to it.
Sure. But, I mean, you know, they're always touting how they're for the vegans and vegetarians or whatever, you know.
Well, because they're all trying to protect the animals.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just eat the food from the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so who is your favorite movie animal?
My favorite movie animal? Probably Cujo.
Ooh, he did not enter the list.
Yeah.
Bambi wins.
Aw. Well, I didn't know you were getting sappy fucking family-oriented. I bet Beethoven's in there and Marley and Me.
No.
Are we talking just old shit? Flipper?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Bambi, Lassie, Garfield, Nemo, Free Willy, Jaws with 7%.
I was going to say Keiko and Jaws, but
yeah.
I didn't.
And 17% say something else.
I met Keiko in person.
18% think Loch Ness Monster is real. 64 say they don't believe it. You met who in person?
Keiko. Free Willy. He showed me his penis in front of a large group of people.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah. It's just like, whoa, mommy, what's that? I didn't say that, but some other kid was like, let's go into the next area. Like, you're not going to tell your kid, hey, that's his penis. You have one, too. You know that thing you pee out of? His is just way bigger. It's like, really? Wow. Will mine ever be that big? No, son. Sorry.
No. Here's a trippy news story for you. They took some ultrasounds, and they say that what's the plural of fetus? Feti?
Fotus.
Fotus? All right. I'm going to go with they masturbate.
Really? Just
yeah.
The boys?
They said that there was they had a video of an ultrasound of a girl with her hand down near a vulva and down there for like 30 minutes before it calmed and fell and relaxed.
She massaged herself to sleep.
Yeah.
So that's a new band name right there.
Yeah.
Masturbating fetus.
This brings up the whole new thing, though, about the whole life. When does it begin? If you can feel pleasure, can you feel pain at that point? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if a chick's rubbing one out at 3 weeks, you can't suck her out with a vacuum tube and think she didn't feel it.
Yeah.
Okay, I get your point.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, that's, you know... I'm not saying either here nor there about that subject. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, that's pretty cool to know.
It's weird, you know, and that was one instance when they said something about a boy or something, too. But,
see,
it's weird, isn't it?
It is weird. Being in the fetus, being a fetus in the womb is kind of like probably like being drunk. You don't have any inhibitions. You only do what you feel like you want to do.
Yeah, and it's always dark, so it's not like you can do much else.
It's like, so you get out into the world, and then like, now I saw this. This is kind of a good example, just came into my brain. We went out to pizza the other day after my daughter's graduation on last Saturday, and we had the little one with us. And so he's playing around in there in the fun room or whatever. They got the pool of balls and the little carousel and all that shit and those things you climb up and slide down.
Yeah.
Little big playroom there at Pappy's Pizzeria or whatever it is. And so another family came in. There was four or five boys in there playing around, having a good time, all strangers. And then she goes, go in there and play. Take your shoes off. And he's like, she's like, you wanted to play? And he goes, I don't like people watching me. And he was like 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that sucks. I wonder what age you get to when you realize that, like, people are looking at you and you don't want to just be yourself and have fun because people are looking at you and they might think that I'm weird because I'm doing what I like. I don't know where that mentality comes in or where that emotion clicks in.
I think it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I think, yeah, just based on experiences and stuff. And probably natural inhibitionless, you know?
Yeah. Some professionals may call that an affliction. You know, this person is grown up, but their brain doesn't know how to use their inhibitions and act in front of people. You know,
sure. It's a social retardation.
So I wonder, that's a good word for it. I wonder if people who, I don't know, because, you know, as a person, you know what kind of weird thoughts you have in your head. And I know what kind of weird shit I've thought of in my life. And
yeah.
who knows, there might be people on this earth that don't think fucking weird thoughts like that, that were raised all like high and tight with the Mormons or Amish or whatever, and they couldn't even fathom thinking of something so vile like they see, or, you know, so they don't have to hide.
I've had this happen to me.
Really?
Yeah. When I told Jerry O that when I see
Jerry O, mate,
when I see a slug on the sidewalk, my first thought is always
salt it.
No, to circle it in salt.
To let him suffer.
Yeah.
Try to get away.
And he said, and this guy's in his 50s, he said he had never, that thought had never entered his mind, ever.
Was the did the thought enter his mind to salt it?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But never to circle.
He'll go out in the mornings and salt slugs, as you know. I mean,
they fuck up your shit.
And that's what he does, you know. And, so, yeah, I said, a man would go out there and circle those bitches. And he's like, I'd never even thought to do that. And then after that, he said that he always thought of that whenever. So, yeah,
you
I
made
don't
him
know.
Masochistic.
Sometimes
no, sadistic.
I wonder if people just think as much as I do. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I don't see how people can't, but then you got people that are on a lower capacity of brain activity.
But do you
like,
just not have thoughts or...
Isn't your brain always going?
You would think.
Yeah, I'm always thinking about something.
But I don't know. Sometimes I'm just spaced. Like when you're really stoned and you're just spaced and you're just staring off. I mean, I'm still thinking about something usually, though. That's
yeah, like,
why I'm spacing.
I have to force myself to like, okay, I'm going to just not do it. I'm always wanting to do something. Like, okay, what time is it? I got time. I can whatever, like play some golf, or I could go play some music, or drive over, whatever. Go ride my bike. You know, I'm always wanting to do something. I like to lay down and rest, like everyone else. But even when I do that, I'm thinking, well, shit, I should read till I fall asleep. It's hard for me just to lay in silence and wait for myself to fall asleep. That blows my mind how our little 3-year-old godson, we could tell, he'd be running around. We're like, dude, it's nap time. Aw, he'll get a little sad. Sometimes he'll throw a fit, but not too much. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, and then we'll lay him down. He'll try to play. He's got a car. So he's laying in bed with a cover, and he's playing with the car going in the air. We're like, okay, buddy, put the car down. It's time to close your eyes and go to sleep. And he'll close his eyes, and within 5-10 minutes, he's asleep. Boom. And I can't.
He probably doesn't have a lot of those thoughts that, you know, and the stresses that adults have when you go to sleep, probably.
Yeah. I've been reading this book since I finished that Stephen King one, and it's about serial killers. It's pretty interesting, but the guy is from England or somewhere, and he writes weird.
Huh.
And so I don't know. It's interesting to me enough that I'm going to read it.
Who is it?
I don't even know who it's written by. It's about all serial killers. It's called Fiendish Killers. Who's it by? Perpetrations of the Worst Possible Evils. I was reading about Albert Fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know that guy?
Sounds familiar, but
dude, that guy was
does.
A weirdo. He was quoted as saying something about you've never tasted succulent meat. You think you've tasted the best pork roast, but nothing was finer than the buttocks of this. He used to eat little kids. And he even wrote a letter to one of the families of the girls, and he said, yes, she was quite tasty, but I did not rape her, so she died a virgin. You know, he was weird.
Yeah.
Weird dude, and he was like 70.
Trying to write a respectable letter.
I guess. I killed your daughter, but I didn't fuck her.
Yeah. I just want you guys to rest.
I ate her butt.
Yeah.
Not her butthole, but her buttocks. Yeah.
Hmm.
Succulent meat, he said it was. And it just, while I was reading that, I was thinking to myself, I wonder if it actually does taste good. Not that I would try it, but you know the people who've had to eat, you know, meat to survive.
They say it's not right, but it's just meat.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, I mean, if you didn't know, would you really know?
I don't know.
There's all sorts of
things. If someone put it in there.
Yeah, if someone just made a human stew, would you really know?
Oh, here's the quote. I never ate any roast turkey that tasted half as good as his sweet, fat little behind did.
That'd probably be a lot of fat. It'd be like
That's
bacon.
That's gross. That's gross. And I was reading about Jack the Ripper? Mm-hmm. Dude, man, I didn't know these people were crazy. They used to, like, hang entrails all around. That's where they get all that shit for Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where they make lampshades out of fucking...
Yeah.
Skin. Organ. Yeah. Ugh. But now, that leads
so
to me
together,
to wonder,
lover.
Thinking about someone who thinks a lot and what people's brains are doing, that's fucking weird.
What's an outlet for all those thoughts, though?
I don't understand. Yeah.
Because where was it... Somebody was talking about Stephen King.
It's
on
not a healthy
outlet. It was on a talk show. Somebody was on there from Under the Dome. It almost makes me think it was that Letterman thing that I was talking about in the black and white, but I'm not sure. And no, it was on Craig Ferguson. He was a fucking weirdo, man.
He's pretty funny. I've been
that
giving him a chance.
That show is crazy. It's wacky. I love it. But it's just so... It's crazy. I like that it's off his Twitter and email attack. Have you seen that?
Uh-uh.
It's like a little segment that goes in, and it's got like the bouncing to follow the words, which are just all crazy. And it's this email and Twitter attack, and there's.
I haven't watched the show. I watched one of his stand-up specials recently because we were talking about him, and I was like, English comics don't really.
No,
he's not from England, but he's from somewhere over there.
Mm-hmm. Full-fledged American now, though.
Yeah, but his accent
gives
him away.
Scotland is where he's
from.
Yeah,
Scotland, that's right. Mm-hmm. I knew it was over across the pond is what I call everybody over there. It's just across
the pond.
He was
doing some Australia humor, too, because he brought up somebody from Australia from the audience and was talking about you spent many a sobering or many a... time in a withdrawal over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think he went there to kind of get away from all that and clean himself up or something.
Huh. I've never looked into his backstory or what his career was.
A big-time alcoholic and a drug user.
Cool.
But it was crazy. You know, I'm going to start a mini book, a pre-reading program.
Yeah.
For fetuses, because reading you can never start too soon. So what I'm going to suggest, you know those little mini books?
Uh-huh.
You just shove them right up there in the uterus.
Yeah.
If they got enough, they can, you know, maybe a book light up there for them.
Yeah. If they're masturbating, you know they'd like to read afterwards, maybe.
Yeah.
If help them fall asleep.
Sure. It's a good market for Playboy, too.
Totally. Get those little boys into pornography.
Could you imagine getting them a mini tablet?
Yeah, just stuff it up there.
Yeah, and then you have to charge it every night.
Kids get so proficient with them younger and younger. You know, I got a 3-year-old that runs my Kindle just as well as I do. When you get 3 weeks old, you can maybe use... you can imagine how huge this phone would be as a tablet to a little fetus. It's like that's like a fucking 100-inch big screen. We'll get to this real quick before I forget. Celebrity birthdays, because I got a couple I want to mention. Because we talked about this guy before... can't remember what we talked about, but we've made fun of him several times. Kip Winger.
Yeah.
It's his birthday today.
He was on something, too, remember?
Yeah.
On Pawn Stars.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. And also we made fun of him when we, I think it was episode 17 of the first season, because we played Winger 17.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always fun to make fun of Kip, former bass player from Alice Cooper.
Remember when Michael Jackson covered that song, He's Only 7?
Yeah. Yeah, and then the backup singers just kind of said,
his daughter's not doing so well.
Who, Blanket?
No, Paris.
Oh.
She tried to commit suicide.
Wow.
Turns out she found out her and her brother don't have the same dad.
Oh.
Which they both knew it wasn't Michael Jackson.
Right. Yeah.
Which threw me off because I was like, well.
They got the same mom.
Yeah. I thought he was at least some way biologically in there.
No.
Well, that's weird. I thought he was passing on his genes.
No, he
just turned out he was trying to farm children for later. That's weird.
That's right. So how old do you think Kip is?
Just like Woody Allen did.
Yeah, farming children for later.
Yep. 58.
A little high.
No, wait, Kip Winger, 47.
Yeah, I was going to say, whoa.
Who we were talking about for a second.
Smack dab in the middle there, 52.
All right.
And also a very funny guy and heavy metal comic, I call him, Jim Brewer.
He's got the lazy eyelid.
Goat boy. Hey, remember the 80s? And,
He's
got
to hate that.
Yeah, well, he's got a new stand-up special that I haven't got to see yet, but he talks about... I mean, I heard that he kind of sheds all those personas and gets a little real. Gets a little real. Probably yeah. bring him up just from, hey, remember that?
Yeah. You know what I hate doing when people ask me to do Goat Boy?
Yeah. And I thought maybe he was younger than he is because,
no, he's 43.
Close. 46. My age. He's 46. Well, he's older than me. 1 year older than me. Juliette Lewis, also born on this day.
Wow.
Yeah. Our friend Jared Johnson opened for them, for her band, The Licks. So he pretty much, he's Dave Grohl. That's what he used to tell me. From the two degrees of separation. He's like, yeah. Well, PB Army played with Juliette Lewis and The Licks, and I played drums for PB Army, and Dave Grohl played drums on her album, so I'm pretty much Dave Grohl.
That's good reasoning.
But yeah, she's only 40.
Really?
She's a couple years older than you. And then local celebrity, rock star, and Facebook friend, Mike Nelson, today.
Ah, happy birthday.
Shares a birthday to the day and the year with Jim Brewer. Mike, happy 46th birthday, buddy. I saw him posting some hate mail about Liquid from Craigslist and getting a good laugh out of it. Someone posted some stuff on Craigslist saying that Liquid was a joke and it was the worst band ever, and why don't you guys give it up? And one guy looks like this and one guy looks like that and blah, blah, blah. It went on and on. And he's like, this is the total reason why we do this, just so we can get a good laugh and please the people that want to be pleased and piss the people off that want to be pissed off.
Well, of course. So. You know, they kind of have that attitude, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they know they put on a stage show that's, you know, put together.
Yeah, and they don't even play that much as much as they'd want to, because he's always out of town doing work in California and different stuff. So, happy birthday to you, Mike, and now
what's in Hans's CD player?
It's probably still Black Sabbath 13, but. He wouldn't give me the same record 3 days in a row. No, he was listening to something else on Wednesday. Today, he's listening to a band that I've heard of but don't listen to much, but there's an addition to it. We've all heard of the Misfits, right? Glenn Danzig and the Misfits. Well, today, Hans is listening to Misfits Meets the Nutley Brass. It's called the Fiend Club Lounge. So I'm guessing that it's Misfits with a horn section?
Really? That kind of sounds like it, yeah.
But that would be weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to throw out Richard Cheese then.
Is that what you've been listening to?
Sure. Hey,
if you like lounge music and comedy, check it out, Hans. You probably know Dick Cheese, a.k.a.
Richard Cheese.
He lounges up everything.
What's the lounge against the machine?
Yeah. I think there's others, too, but yeah.
Yeah, there's like three albums, and he does covers like...
probably some Kiss.
He might. I know he does great version of Smack My Bitch Up.
Oh, I love that song.
And...
Hans loves that song, too.
Yep.
I was listening to Rock and Roll Over by Kiss.
Some Motley Crue.
That's why I mentioned Kiss. And,
because you lost your Hot in the Shade album.
Yeah. I did lose it. I never bought it, and if I would have, I would have lost it. I hate that album. I just.
That was we were talking earlier in the week about.
I can't even name one song.
Those albums that were in my era wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You know, like I'd heard of Kiss, and I was getting into Kiss, and they had a new album coming out, and so I bought it.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything on it either.
Was that Hot in the Shade?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it has like a sphinx on
like
the front.
It was like 89 or something.
It has a sphinx on the front of it.
Yeah.
Now, I remember my friend Bobby Jordan was still getting excited about Kiss albums when they came out, and I came down to visit him, and he had that record and the ones before that on vinyl, and I was like, you're still buying their records? He's like, well, I got all of them on vinyl, so there's no reason to stop buying, you know, complete the collection. Because, you know, a full Kiss vinyl collection would be worth a pretty penny.
That's true.
Or two. You know, so are you drinking coffee?
No, it's you're becoming just a coffee mug.
You're looking more and more like a podcast host drinking I'm going to start drinking out of a mug too now, like
a little
coffee mug.
Yeah.
Hey, so today's Friday, folks, and I don't know if you know it, but in my hometown, Brownsville, in Oregon, here where we are, well, we're in Albany when we broadcast, but I live over in Brownsville where they have the oldest celebration in the state. It's the 116th annual Pioneer Picnic this weekend.
And it's still going on?
Oh, yeah. It happens this weekend. It's starting.
And, oh, I thought it longest going meant that it never stopped.
No, it didn't stop.
Never going to stop. Never going to stop.
Yeah, no. It goes a weekend a year. But very first one was in 1897. Dude.
Wow. What happened at that one?
Some folks. I was looking at the stuff about it. Some folks got together, and they cooked some food, and they had some fellowship. And they, probably talked and maybe sang some songs.
How many people lived in Brownsville at that time? Was Brownsville a town?
Yeah, Brownsville is the third oldest town in the state.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Only second to Oregon City and some other one that I can't recall.
Huh.
But,
interesting.
Yeah, so they've been doing it for, this is the 116th year in a row. And there was a couple years when they... didn't the sixth annual was actually in a grove out towards Halsey, but all the rest of them have been in Brownsville, so that's pretty cool. But it was cooler when I was a kid because they had like a carnival, and they had like I don't know.
Carnivals are usually just in parking lots anymore, you know, like every 3 weeks it seems like.
Right.
In rural towns. Some of the ruraler, like Albany here, they always got that one over there. You know, they'll just set up a Ferris wheel.
Oh, in the parking lot of some place. Yeah, well, so they have this.
Set up a parking Ferris wheel.
Now it has devolved to mostly like a loggers jamboree show on Sunday where people try to set chokers and cut through big logs and stuff faster than the
other
guy.
That was the big thing here. It was the Timber Carnival. Yeah, and then they shut that down. Yeah. And then.
So they still have a mini version of that, and then they have a lot of stuff for little kids, like the Penny Scramble, and then they have the annual talent show, which is for kids in the daytime and adults at night.
The Penny Scramble? They just throw out a bunch of pennies?
No, you got like a square that's kind of like a huge sandbox, but it's full of like sawdust, like fluffy sawdust, and it's just got pennies all in it. You got like 2 minutes. The kids go in there and scramble around and get pennies.
Huh.
And then... which I think you trade the pennies in for something now, because back in the day, that they probably did that at the first one. The pennies. You got 6 pennies? Fuck, what a score.
Yeah.
In 1897,
six. Yeah, you'd be like, you're paying the rent in this month, son.
Well, you're buying the farm, buddy. You got 6 cents. I'm putting that with that my 14 cents. That's 20 cents.
Yep. Buy us an acre.
Yep.
Hmm. You know, every year in Oregon, there are... 285 Bigfoot reports.
Wow.
Yeah.
Every year?
Yeah. I was watching a story about one the other day where this guy, he was an officer, I do believe.
Yeah.
And a woman, something had happened, and he was in the woods. Oh, no, he got off of work, and he thought he would go for a walk and a hike. And so he went into the woods, and after a while, I think he saw something, and then he was looking around, and he felt like he was being watched, and then he heard like a tree snap. And then so he started running in the opposite direction, and he heard a tree snap in front of him.
Oh, shit.
And he knew he was being circled. And eventually he got out of there, you know, and he could feel the thing at the edge of the forest. Watching him.
I got a friend of a friend who is Bigfoot hunting right now.
Really?
And he should be, because his name is Debo.
Uh-huh.
D-E-B-O.
Uh-huh.
He's about 4'9", maybe 5'2". He's a short little fucker. And he has a truck that has a canopy on it. Not a camper, but a canopy that is, like, taller than the camper on my truck. But
wow.
Yeah, he totally really believes in Bigfoot. And I just thought that it was funny that he's a Bigfoot hunter. And Debo, remember Debo from the movie Friday? Today's Friday.
Oh, it's been a long time since I've seen that.
I know this.
Listen to this.
I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high today.
You make sure and smoke some weed today. It's Friday.
You ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
That's right. Just listen to the TagCast podcast. I was going to play that at the beginning, but I forgot. So there you go. There's that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you guys are interested and you don't got nothing to do, you ain't got shit to do, come out to the Brownsville Pioneer Picnic. You could win $50 if you join the talent show. You just got to sign up before 7 o'clock. I haven't been in. I used to, you know. So that brings me to this. I've almost forgot. It was 1975. How long ago was that? 38 years ago?
Yep.
38 years ago was my debut of live performance in front of a crowd of people at said Pioneer Picnic.
Right on, and you sang.
This is the ironic thing. It was a Saturday.
Never gonna give you up.
No, it was a Saturday, and it was in the Brownsville Park. Guess what song I sang?
Saturday in the park. What day was it?
It was like the 19th of June. So that really fucks things
well,
up.
Well, you thought it was the 4th of July.
I did. And they're like, well, you're 7. You don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, like, I you know, now these days, well, not always, but usually in a talent show, you play like one song, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
I got up there and said, fuck it. I played 5 songs. It was like a mini concert.
Wow.
And I won $5, so they basically paid me $5 per song. I came in third place, won $5, and then the band Wings of Freedom, including John Meehan, who was formerly in the Bone Jars for many years, they invited me to come play a couple songs with them that night at the big dance party USA nighttime mm-hmm. adult thing. So that was also the same night. So,
were you rocking the piano?
I was rocking an organ. Ooh. A Hammond B3.
Wow.
Like John Lord from fucking Deep Purple. It wasn't mine. I had a Leslie speaker.
Yeah.
With the rotating thing in the speaker. And another little, it was a triple, it was like the dude from the 70s rock band, dude. I had like a B3 organ with another little keyboard on top of it that was all wired together.
Wow, you were Paul Schaefer in it.
Yeah, for like solos, then I put my arm up. No, and the two songs I did was Pinball Wizard and a Billy Joel song, Worst Comes to Worst, that actually says son of a bitch in it.
Wow.
I said son of a bitch at the nighttime rock and roll party, but in the daytime, the guy who taught me all this stuff, he made me say son of a gun, which does not rhyme with hitch, and I felt stupid. Because the line is, if I don't have a ride, I'll hitch. I got a thumb, and she's a son of a bitch. Now, how could she be a son? That's fucking weird. He's got a lesbian thumb.
But the gun kind of rhymes with the thumb.
Yeah, so listen to this. If I don't have a ride, I'll hitch. I got a thumb, and it's a son of a gun. The parents knew, and they kind of got a chuckle out of it, because all the adults are like, oh, how cute. He said gun instead of bitch.
Yeah.
And then I said, you can fuck off, yeah. And they're like, what? I didn't cuss.
I don't know if I know that. Is that a hit?
It's not. It's a B-side, I think.
It's a gem.
It's called Worst Comes to Worst.
Hmm.
Or Worst Comes to Worst.
I used to like Billy Joel.
Yeah.
I probably still do.
I will throw in his album or tape or whatever I happen to be listening to.
I thought you handled your materials better than that.
I just throw it in there. I'm not a good material handler.
Yeah.
I never worked in material handling. I was always just a laborer.
Uh-huh. So which one is it that you throw in?
Oh, there's a few. I have one that's easily accessible. That's a CD, and it's just a Billy Joel's Greatest Hits Volume 1, 2, and 3 on a double disc set. So it's pretty much every song you love and all of the ones that you hate, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's one song that I enjoy called Moving Out.
Oh, yeah.
That's a rocker, right? My wife has a bad memory of going to a super scary movie at the drive-in called Phantasm. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah.
I got to watch that one again soon.
Leaving the drive-in, that's the first song that came on. So now every time she hears that song, she thinks of how scared she was during
that
movie.
She thinks of that silver ball flying at the screen, which is probably pretty crazy in the movie at the drive-in.
Yeah, because she was like 9 or 10 or whatever.
Yeah, to see that ball flying at you.
So she can't listen to that song.
Out of the sky.
I used to love to sing that song at karaoke, and then she was like, that song freaks me out. And I was like, it's good, huh? And she's like, no, like in a bad way. Like, it's like, that song freaks me out. I love it. It gives me goosebumps up my spine sometimes. Yeah. But no, it's got that part where the car revs up in the middle. Mm-hmm. And then he burns off. And then it starts rocking and the upbeat. I dig that tune. I used to love some Billy Joel because my parents used to kind of push it on me because I was a penis. Sure. I was a little penis.
I think I had that greatest hits, at least the single one.
Yeah, they even go, the one with volume three goes clear up into like Uptown Girl and all those craps.
Yeah. It was all right for the 80s, you know, compared to some of the other 80s, like the Chicago 80s.
Remember the 80s?
And then they, you know, all that kind of crapola. Dude, I'm determined to get you in some sort of fucking haunted house. There's several of them in Oregon, you know.
I want to find one, too. I would like to find one, too. I will go there, but...
Dude, because I'm starting to believe after watching these stories, man.
Oh, are you jumping the proverbial fence on believing or not?
Well, I think I always kind of believed in the supernatural and just, you know, things like that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, as much as one can without any seeing proof myself, but, I mean, I've had chilling moments and heard things and that I don't doubt.
Right. But how do you know? You don't know what it is, though, right?
No.
Could have been a cool breeze.
Well, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, they're just weird, weird things.
And maybe because I'm so, like, I don't believe it, maybe they would, like, even manifest themselves even more to me.
Sure.
To prove it.
Well, this was, I watched one with Michael Rapaport the other day.
Yeah.
And he was on The Haunting Of. And what had happened to him was he ended up his junior year. He went to Erasmus High School in New York.
Okay.
Which, old high school. I mean, it looked like a cathedral. Like, seriously. Now, currently, it's split up into four different high schools. That's how big it was. And so, yeah, he was kind of, it was a tough high school back then. Like, there was murders. Like 10 a year of just
all in the school
of kids, you know, just like brutal violence going on,
like gang style.
And yeah, there was one year there was like 59 serious crimes committed, and like over half of them were towards teachers.
So the students are killing the teachers,
Well, just all over, you know, and but they were assigned to detention. One time, him and his friend, and they were told to go down to the basement and clean it up. And they went in this room, and there was just a giant stack of all these chairs, or, you know, desks, like those old wood and metal desks.
It's a desk and a chair.
Yeah, and they're just all stacked up like 10 feet high, and they're in there, and they get this chilling feeling, and then a big stack falls over of them. And the lights go out and their electronics stopped, which they didn't realize at the time was like a Walkman got like super hot and like popped.
Right.
And the tape inside had melted or whatever.
Whoa.
And so this lady went back with them and she, you know, she felt all this energy, blah, 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 bull crap. I don't know how much I believe in that kind of stuff, but just the things that kind of surrounded just the things that she was talking about that related to their stories. I mean, it was hard not to believe some of the stuff. I mean, I know it's edited that way.
Right.
And so I take it all with a grain of salt. But, I mean, they were honestly freaked out. I mean, there was a point to where, like, all this energy was coming from this door. All three of them were creeped out. And she's like, there's two of them in here talking. And I don't trust them.
Yeah, see, and when I was younger,
were kids that were killed in the school at different times, and they were, you know, they were mischievous, and that's why they scared them, because they thought they were kind of pranksters. They were like, hey, you're one of us. You know, of course, it'd freak you out to see something like that.
Yeah, for sure. And when I was younger, I think I believed it more, and I just think over the years of never actually having something happen to me personally...
Sure.
The faith of it, kind of like Jesus. Like when you're a kid, it's easy to go to church and say, yeah, Jesus was this guy and he died on the cross for all of our sins because his dad was God.
Because you're not thinking all the time.
And he created the whole heavens and the earth in 7 days. And then he had a kid like 2,000 years later. And then he did this other thing where he got this girl pregnant without having sex with her. I can't believe that now. But And the ghost thing, the longer it goes, the more I think, well, you know, maybe it's a crock of shit. But like when I saw that movie, The Entity, in like 1980, that's based on a true story with Barbara Hershey, where he used to fuck her. This entity, this ghost would come in and like rape her and like throw her up against the wall and like drag her up the wall and stuff. And it was a movie with cool special effects and it was pretty graphic and it was pretty scary. And I was pretty convinced. I'd tell people that's real shit, man. That's based, it said based on a true story. But
all you have to do really is believe that there is another realm, another dimension.
Well, you know,
that you can't, you know.
I kind of want to, and that's why I think I'd like someone to prove it to me, because I don't want to just be buried in the dirt and not do anything else. I'd like to go have another secondary realm.
But it seems to me that these people are kind of like, you know, it isn't always an enjoyable experience for them.
Right.
It's more like a, you know, these kids seem like they're trapped because they were killed there, you know. I mean,
yeah.
She says that some are just, like, trapped where they were killed, you know, which would make sense, you know.
Could be, you know.
It'd be, I don't know.
I think we should look up for Monday's episode a poll on how many people believe in spirit world.
Huh?
Because I think a lot more people do than don't.
Sure.
Yeah. But that's just my thoughts, you know. And I'm open, you know. I'll change my mind and I'll say I was wrong. But at this point.
Oh, well, I've never seen anything either. You know, like anything creepy.
Right. Felt maybe a cold draft or something, or felt a chill down your spine in a weird spot.
Yeah.
That could be from anything, you know.
So. Yeah.
And I didn't mention it, but I guess it's about time to start wrapping this up. I forgot to mention to our main sponsor, Complete Ag Resolutions. Hey, I'm having some mechanical woes, bro. Not only my lawnmower, but I switched the spark plugs and the wires and the rotor and the distributor out on my Honda 86 Civic. And it ran better for a little bit, but now it's smoking a little bit and it already fouled the plug. So I think I got a bad valve. I think I got a burnt valve, buddy. Do you know how to fix those? I'll pay you. You don't have to if you don't want to, but I got another friend who said he might do it, but this is just a test to you, Stan, from Complete Ag Resolutions, to see if you do listen every day, like you say. Send me a message, and if I don't hear from you for a couple days after the weekend, maybe Monday, I'll shoot you a message and see if I have my car fixed by then or whatever.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so get out there and do something. Stick around after the show for some plugs. I don't know what we got for guests lined up. Oh, we got guests. That's right. We're going to Portland.
Yeah?
We're going to Portland in 2 days. And we're gonna record about 4 interviews with some Portland comics, and we'll probably spread those out because I got to take some time off in July. We might
4 interviews.
Maybe we'll stake a stockpile of 1 or 2 of those, or maybe we'll record ours and stockpile something. But yeah, so we got some guests coming up within the next month on this new season here. We're like Todd Armstrong, runner up in the Helium contest, and the Oregon's funniest person, also Will Woodruff. A qualifier in one of those contests, and we're going to have Boomer, formerly on the KUFO radio show from back in the day when there used to be a radio, and PTP. He took his Thomas off of his MySpace. Now he's just Patrick Perkins. So, Pat Perkins.
I like it.
Yeah. Hey, Pat. What's up, dude?
I don't know, though, because then I can't do the initial thing.
Come on down to Patrick Thomas Perkins, House of Merkins.
I always go MCPTP.
MCPTP in the hizzy.
If you do it now, though, what is it?
MCPP. That's almost better, right?
I don't know.
It made a big grin come on your face when I said it. You got all chatty.
Well, of course, because I was expecting.
MCPP. You weren't expecting my voice to go up like that.
You know also, MC Chris?
No. Chris Crayfish.
Aqua. Teen Hunger Force, he did some songs.
Yeah.
He plays Portland every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, we kind of ran out of time, but I'll talk about it on Monday about the roast of Chris Castles. That was a blast and a half last weekend. So anyway, we better get out of here. Go to our Twitter, follow us. Go to our Facebook and unlike us if you like us now. We're doing a test.
Yeah.
We're seeing how many likes we can lose in this next week. And then you can come back and like us later. And go rate us on iTunes. Listen to us. Go check out our other sponsor, Pizza Now. They got four great new pizzas to choose from. And me and Dustin decided, no offense, but the meat market is better cold.
Yeah. That's not to say it's not good when it's warm.
No,
it's just better when it's cold.
It's kind of like revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Revenge.
It's best revenge. Served.
Revenge.
Icy.
Revenge.
Put it in the freezer.
What could have drawn her to this state of mind? Revenge. Revenge. I just wanted some meat market pizza.
Yeah.
All right. So tune back in Monday.
Oh, I forgot celebrity deaths, Al Capone.
Oh, shit. And I heard they're looking for Jimmy Hoffa again.
Yeah, they are.
Wow. We'll talk about that Monday. I wonder if they'll find him. Also, be on the lookout for some new Zappacast to be released, because it's been a little while since we've released one. So we got Them or Us coming up, I think, and some orchestral stuff as well. So go to Zappacast.com and check that shit out.
Yeah.
And then go out to the Pioneer Picnic and join the talent show.
Like, yeah.
Head to head with me. I might join this year, so you might see me singing a song.
I don't.
I might not. All right.
Rock on.
Peace out and metal. Hey, Taggarts. What are you doing? I'm going to tell you what you should be doing. Going out to see some comedy shows and some hard rock and some metal shows and, I don't know, just go to a bar and get drunk someday, because it's good for the soul. You don't just want to sit in your house all the time. June 20th at the Wow Hall. Wowie, wow, wow hall. Pauly Shore. Weird.
What?
I don't know what's up. What's he going to do? He's going to tell jokes, I guess. Recite Biodome in its entirety. Go check it out. I think tickets are way overpriced, $20 or something. But go check him out if you love Pauly Shore. June 23rd, the Tagcast podcast will be in Portland at the Comedy House doing interviews all day with comedians. And then afterwards, we're going to head down to the Ash Street Saloon for Patrick Thomas Perkins' House of Merkins Down and Dirty Dark Comedy Showcase. Feature myself, Veronica Heath, who's been on Portlandia and the Bridgetown Comedy Festival. Also Josh Lay and some others, a lady down from Seattle that I don't recall her name. But it's going to be funny as hell. $5 donation. And hell is funny if you worship the devil. June 26th, Machine Head, Separation of Sanity, Proven, and American Roulette at the Hawthorne Theater. Three local bands getting opened up for a nationally headlining band. Kind of cool. Go check that out. June 28th, I will be doing a solo acoustic set at the Cosmic Pizza in Eugene, Oregon. That's on 8th. Starts at 7 o'clock. It's $10, all ages. Other bands include Milepost and the Tripwire Project. I think they've added a couple more that I don't know about yet. But if you go buy tickets online, make sure you click Terry Guile, because it'll help me. And if you don't, I don't care, because I'm not sure about those guys anyway. But come to the Cosmic Pizza June 28th. Should be fun. Also, if you're not in that area and you happen to be up in Portland that night, go see the Slayer tribute band Live Undead, because they're kick-ass, featuring members of Body Bag and Everclear, which is just weird. Also playing that night is Raptor and Coven. It's at the Ash Street Saloon. It's $10. It's 21 and over. It's 9 p.m. And 2 days later, a classic band that me and Gatch had the pleasure of opening for one time, MDC, along with Verbal Abuse and some other punk bands, also at the Ash Street Saloon. That's the 30th of June. It's a Sunday. 8 o'clock show, $10 at the door, 21
also,
and over.
Also, 2 days later, a new band name.
Yeah, 2 days later, band name. Also, June 30th, if you're not 30th, I'm talking like I'm urban here. June 30th, if you don't happen to be in Portland, Oregon, come down to the Eugene area for Sam Bond's Garage Bleepin' Funny with your hostess, Leanne Jashaway. It's a birthday. It's 8 p.m. It's not her birthday. I'm freaking out right now. It's a show. It's a free show. And it is a show. And you have to be 21 to get in. And it's 8 p.m. And there'll be no fucking cussing. It's Bleepin' Funny. There'll be an improv troupe there as well. July 3rd, Rockstar Mayhem Festival with Rob Zombie, Mastodon, and Amon Amarth at the White River Amphitheater in Auburn, Washington. July 13th, it's 30-pound test with In Her Memory and guests at the Dixie Creek Saloon for Dave Wilson's birthday bash. That starts at 9 o'clock. It's free, and you got to be an adult with ID to get in. Black Flag at the Hawthorne Theater with Good For You and Piggy, July 18th. July 20th, also at the Hawthorne at 6 Feet Under with Decrepit Birth, Cannabis Corpse, and two other bands that I don't have right here. Every Time I Die is coming to the Hawthorne Theater on July 31st. And then we got a bunch more shows coming up. Doug Benson's coming to Salem on August 8th. Also Foghat in Albany, August 8th. The Melvins are coming, Black Sabbath, Gary Numan, Raven, and Diamond Head, Creator and Overkill. Listen next week for information on all those shows. Right now, come out and do something. One of those things I just told you. And then come back and listen to TagCast Podcast at our website, tagcastpodcast.com.